This is Steve Braswell. Welcome to my podcast. We started last week a series I'm calling The Church and Disabilities. Last week we talked about why this topic is so important. Today we come to the question, what does the Bible say? Now there are a lot of things that I could bring out from the Bible, but I'm going to try to put it in a package that you can understand and take with you. Going to look at 10 scriptural principles about disabilities. First one is, God created every one of us in His own image, and God's creation is a good work. God looked at His work of creation, remember, and said, it is very good. So this would include the creation of people with disabilities. As time went on, people were born with disabilities. God's work of creation is very good, and each one of those people, even with what we call disabilities or different abilities, is made in God's very own image. Psalm 139, 13 to 15 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am so fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." Of course, this is written at a time when, as a child developed inside the child's mother's womb, it was a completely secret place. It could not be seen. There were no ultrasounds or things like that. So it was a completely secret place. And for every one of those children that are born, the psalmist says, you're one of God's works, and God's works are wonderful. Now, that is true for every child. We tend to, as we talked about last week, we tend to box people in and think of certain people as abled and certain others as disabled. But for all of those children who are born, they're one of God's works, and God's works are wonderful. Second scriptural principle, Jesus doesn't turn people away like others want Him to. He brings them near and blesses them. Mark 10, 13 through 16, people were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them. Just picture that in your mind. Jesus, the very Son of God, taking these children who were rejected by others, brought them near and placed His hands on them and blessed them. Told you last week that the basis for my Doctor of Ministry thesis project was this title, "Let All God's Children Come? Welcoming into the Church Families Who Have Children with Developmental Disabilities." Think in our heads, we would say, if I ask any pastor, should we let all children come? Absolutely, yes. But then in practice, sometimes we either turn certain ones away or make it very difficult for them to stay. But Jesus doesn't turn people away who are different. He brings them near and blesses. The third scriptural principle, disabilities do not subtract from a person's personhood, from a human being's personhood. David made a promise to Jonathan's family, and he kept it, when he could have viewed any descendant of King Saul as a threat to his throne. Now, the context, I'm going to read some verses from 2 Samuel chapter 9, but the context is, Saul was king, and then once he was gone, any of his descendants could rise up and say, I am the legitimate person who should be king now, because I'm related to King Saul. David, you are not related to King Saul. You are an illegitimate king. You should not be king. So any descendant of Saul could be a threat to David's kingdom. 2 Samuel 9, verses 3 and 7, King David asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan." Remember, David, Jonathan is King Saul's son and David's very, very close friend. "There's still a son of Jonathan named Mephibosheth." Now that name means one who destroys shame or brings it to an end. "He is lame in both feet." David said to Mephibosheth, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and," notice this, "you will always eat at my table." Now that was more than just providing meals, some meal ministry. Having him eat at his table, at the king's table, was a sign of full acceptance. Now he was a threat. He could have been seen as a threat to David's kingship. And on top of that, we're told that Mephibosheth was lame in both feet. He could have been viewed as someone less than a full person because he couldn't do all the things physically that most other people could. See what I'm saying? How people can view people with different abilities as less than a full person, but David didn't do that. The fourth scriptural principle: the celebration of Jesus' kingdom is open for all who want to come, and the least of society are more likely to want to come. Luke 14:21-24, the parable of the great banquet. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. The rich had made excuses about not coming. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite," notice, "the poor," all right, the kind of the opposite of the rich who had said they weren't coming, the poor, but notice who else? The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, "There's still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." You know, there's two sides to this coin. On the one hand, a gracious invitation for even people with disabilities. All who want to come are invited. Please come. But then also words of harsh condemnation for the rich who made excuses about not coming. "None of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." Jesus had a way of taking things and turning them upside down. We tend to think of, well, the rich people are the ones blessed by God. That's why they're wealthy. And the poor, they're not blessed by God, or maybe they're lazy, or all the things, that, bad things we say. Jesus turned that upside down and said, the poor are the ones most likely to come and the rich most likely to be condemned. So the celebration of Jesus' kingdom is open for all who want to come. Then the fifth scriptural principle: even when touching a person was against the Jewish law, Jesus touched and healed. Now, Jesus didn't heal every person, and every person with a disability doesn't need or get a healing in Jesus' day. Mark chapter 1, verses 40-42, an example: a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," the man said to Jesus. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. Now, this was a man with leprosy. Jewish law said you're not supposed to touch someone who is unclean, but Jesus touched him and said, "I am willing. Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. And then Mark chapter 5, verses 40-42, Jesus made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. The girl was dead. You're not supposed to touch a dead body. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. Even when it was against the Jewish law, Jesus touched people in need, touched people who were different, touched people who had disabilities, and healed them. But as I said, not every person with a disability got a healing. I'm not saying that even in Jesus' day, but still, he did that by touching them, showing his compassion. Principle number 6, Jesus' greatest care goes to the ones we call the least. Matthew 25:40, the story of the final judgment. And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." It's interesting. When Jesus talked about those who are the least in the family of his brothers and sisters, what he's really saying is the least by the way we judge things. Who are the people in your church or in your community who are pushed to the outside and considered to be the least important? Jesus said, when you do it to them, when you feed them, when you give them something to drink, when you show them the love of Jesus, you're doing it unto him. Scriptural principle number 7, people do not get disabilities because of sin. In other words, there is not a one-to-one correspondence between our sins and our circumstances. Now, this is a big principle, and you really need to think about that, because Job's friends thought, all right, you have had these bad circumstances happen to you. That is equated with the fact that you have done this list of bad sins. Because isn't it true that if you sin, you get punished? If you don't have punishment, you're not sinning. There's got to be a one-to-one correspondence between our sins and our circumstances. Jesus said no. John 9:2-3. Rabbi, his disciples ask him, "Why was this man born blind?" This man right here, that we all know is born blind. Why? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It had to be one or the other in their minds, because bad circumstance equals bad sins. But Jesus says it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We need to work on our theodicy based on all of the Bible, not just certain parts of it, like Job's story. Theodicy comes from two Greek words, the word for God, theos, and the word for justice. In other words, it's our way of trying to vindicate God's ways in the world. How can God be good and rule over all, and yet there is so much evil in this world? That's one of the most difficult questions of the Bible and in life. But here's a starting point in thinking about that question. People do not get disabilities because of sin. Principle number 8, there's no biblical support for us excluding anyone who wants to believe in Jesus. No biblical support for excluding anyone who wants to believe in Jesus. An example, there's an Ethiopian eunuch returning from Jerusalem. Now, eunuch was a man, typically castrated, who served in a royal court. He wouldn't be a threat to the queen or other women in the court because he'd been castrated. Eunuchs were scorned by Jews because they couldn't perpetuate the covenant family and because their law forbade such men from serving as priests. However, this man is reading from the Isaiah scroll, which specifically says, God will accept Gentiles and eunuchs. Go read it for yourself. Isaiah 56:3-4. Don't let the eunuch say, "The Lord will never let me be part of his people. I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future. For this is what the Lord says, I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me." I love those verses, not just for eunuchs, but for others who feel like, I'm a dried up tree with no future. My life is just a big mess. I have no future, no future in the church, no future with God. But the Lord, in great compassion, says, I will bless those who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me. So in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, the Ethiopian eunuch, as they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Now, you might expect Philip to say, wait a minute. The law, go back and read the whole Bible. The law says some things against you because of your physical condition. We could say disability. The law speaks against you. There's every reason in the world for you not to be incorporated into God's family. You are not accepted. Is that what happened? He says, why can't I be baptized? Philip ordered the carriage to stop. They went down into the water and Philip baptized him. See, there's no biblical support for excluding anyone who wants to believe in Jesus. And yet the church has done that over and over again with some people with disabilities. Principle number 9, the essence of a healthy church is including all spiritual gifts. Now, the body of Christ includes all sorts of bodies, all sorts of gifts. And your church is most healthy when all those gifts are functioning. 1 Corinthians 12:22 to 25. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important. Okay, stop right there. Who do you consider in your church to be the weakest and the least important? And is it because, perhaps, that they have some disability? Paul says, those that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. You see how Jesus has a way of turning things upside down, the way we look at things? He says, no, it's just the opposite. The ones that seem to be the least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. Now, I realize this is an ideal and we're all sinners. We all fail, every one of us. But this is still the ideal for the body of Christ, that all the members care for each other, that we don't neglect or put out certain ones because of their disabilities. And then principle number 10, the greatest apostle the church has ever known, you know who that is, Paul, suffered with disabilities, and God used him to bring glory to himself through his weaknesses. Okay? Through his very weaknesses. Got some scriptures to read you to back this up. Galatians 4, 13 through 15. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news, but even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. And we don't know everything for sure about Paul's condition, but because he mentions taking out his own eyes, there may have been some eye problem, maybe affecting his sight. Maybe his eyes would put out fluid. Maybe it didn't look very nice. We're not sure. But he does mention that I was sick when I first brought you, and you might have been tempted to reject me or turn me away, but you didn't. Galatians 6:11, Paul writes, notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. You know, it's his normal practice to have an amanuensis, a secretary, to take the words down and put them into the letter. But it was not his normal practice for him to write himself. But here in Galatians, he specifically mentions writing in large letters. So again, perhaps his eyesight was affected. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 27. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. Think about those verses in relation to the topic of disabilities. There are certain people with certain abilities that we these are the most important people in the church because these things that they have that they can do, their status in the community, their power, their wealth. He says, no, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. 2 Corinthians 10:10, for some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person, this is Paul's own description of himself that other people had said about him, in person he is weak and his speeches are worthless. We think of him as a great apostle, but evidently there were problems in his appearance, in his presentation, that didn't make him to be the kind of person that the people in the community would think, oh, this is the greatest person. He was weak, but God used his weaknesses. And this next one is the best example of that. 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 9. To keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Of course, we don't know what it was, but it was something physical. And three different times, he said, I begged the Lord to take it away. You know, if you've ever prayed about something over and not gotten that yes answer from God that you want so badly, you're in good company. Paul said three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work in me. So you may not realize it, but the church is different from the world. The world says the people with power are the most important, and you need to spend your whole life trying to get as much power as you can. That's what the world says. But when we come in the church, a church teaches us something different from the world. The church teaches us God's power works best in weakness. So what you need to do is acknowledge your weakness and seek God's power to be seen through your weaknesses. Yes, through your disabilities. Now, that's a lot of information for you to take in at one time, but those are, I think, 10 really great scriptural principles that help us as we think about this topic of disabilities. Maybe you might need to go back and re-listen to some of it to take it all in, but every one of those principles is important, I think. So, disabilities in the church. Last week, why is the topic so important? This week, what does the Bible say? Next week, we come to practically working it out, and he asks the question, what can my church do in this area of disabilities? I hope you'll join me next week as we talk about that.